Mein naam is Ali, 44 my nie ken nie. Ek het rasens my gevra om vanoggend 'n boodskap met julle te deel. Ek sien ons het een of twee gaste wat nie Afrikaans spreek is nie, so ek gaan my bes probeer om 'n bietjie in Engels ook te deel. Ek het al voorheen ook gesê is ek het so vir my belangrikste tye van my lewe het ek in Appington groot geword. En as jy Rainier het vier water drink, dan maak het van jou baie nice persoon, maar dit affekteer jou vermoë om Engels te praat so bietjie. So ek gaan my beste probeer. Before I start, I think let's really pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning, and Lord, as you spoke so dearly with me in my heart, my spirit this morning during the worship, I want to thank you, Lord, that we are alive, and we are eternal beings, and thank you, Lord, for this morning's message where I can share what I honestly, truly believe with my whole life. You've been dealing with me for the last year and a half, and also thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you will guide every single word that comes out of my mouth. Ja, dankie vir hierdie en ons is reg. Ek dink elke groepie is altyd maar wat gebid het vir hierdie en ja, ons is net so dankbaar vir hom. Thank you that you reign over us, was just saying our group on the righteous and unright and unrighteous. Ons dankie dit vir die hierdie en nog Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I made I was apologize on behalf of Yolanda, or it's my fault. I didn't see the proper with the PowerPoint. I see the PDF, so I don't think it fits quite properly on the screen there, but it's my fault, so apologize for that. Okay, the time of my life. So I wish I could say to you that I'm going to share a 5-point message this morning on one of those books where it says, to have the best time of your life, just do the following 5 things, and then everything will continue. You know, you can have a jewel and, you know, just carry on, you're saved. But I've got actually much better news than that. Last year, February, I can clearly remember the Lord speaking to me as I walked out of my office at work. It was a very tough time, probably the toughest time in my corporate career at the end of that, over the December period. And I walked out and I failed a lot of tests. For myself. So I think the Lord was at a point where he realized that he needs to intervene into my life. And this is basically what I'll be sharing about today is, I believe, and I think all of us know, that the Lord has got a calling for each and every one of us. Okay. So we've got a certain time allotted that's given to us on earth. And I think, and this is my revelation that I believe the Lord gave me, last year, February, the Lord realized that my next time is going to run out. Okay? I've got a calling for him, but if I don't intervene in his life, then he's not going to be able to accomplish that which I've called him to do. Now, that's my interpretation of what happened. And I'm really thankful. I think I've shared a lot. I'll share a bit over what happened since then in my life and things that really made big changes, and also share out of the Word what I believe is important for all of us to know what I've learned. So I'm actually sharing with you guys today what the Lord has been dealing with me personally for the last year and a half, a bit longer, what I believe the Lord laid on my heart to share. So what's interesting is when I walked out of that building, I clearly heard the Lord saying to me, I need to work on your character. Now, I could have made 2 choices on that day. I could have said, okay, and thinking, okay, I hope it's not going to be too tough. But when the Lord said that to me clearly, I realized that it's going to be a road that I'm going to walk. I'm going to be willing to sacrifice me, my AFL, because my will is nog steeds en was baie sterk daar stadium, but I realized I had to say yes. I had to give the Lord permission, because I just realized the Lord is very gracious. if I didn't give him permission, he would have allowed me to continue with what I was doing. And I led the Lord. I prayed in the Holy Spirit. I was reading the Bible. I'm not saying that I was living as I'm a sinful person, but the Lord was gracious because he knew, he could see, I wasn't using my time on earth as effectively as I was supposed to achieve that which the Lord has called me to do. So that was a defining moment for me, and it was, what's interesting for me is, up until very recently, I never realized the significance of that morning. But the Lord was very graceful because it stuck in my head for some reason. You can ask my wife, I don't remember a lot of things. Even if we fought, and then I think, oh, what did we fight about, or whatever, things like that. My brain just continues, or carries on. I don't remember a lot of stuff. But this thing stood out, and as the Lord sort of colored in the picture for me, I realized it was a significant moment in my life. Also had to give permission to the Lord to come and intervene. Now, one of the very significant things that happened, there's a lot of guys here. I put a picture of the family there that I didn't properly put onto PowerPoint. The Conqueror series, I think the guys in church, a lot of guys know what happened with the Conqueror series. Basically, I don't want to spend too much time to advertise the Conqueror series, but basically we said all the men in church, let's get together, let's understand what accountability is, let's understand what are the things that the devil wants to bring into our life to keep us from achieving that which the Lord has called us to do. It's got to do with addictions, not just sexual, anything, patterns, things that come and want to come and steal and destroy our lives. And something that came out of that was we started with an accountability group. I'm not very big on WhatsApp groups, but I must say this is probably one of the most valuable things that happened, is a WhatsApp group, where we started with just sharing on a daily basis with each other certain points. One of the very important things of that is they said we must be accountable to the things that the Lord has spoke to us about in terms of our identity and our calling. Now, I know, this is how I'm speaking, I knew at that point that there was multiple times in my life that the Lord clearly spoke to me since I gave my life to the Lord, made a commitment. I clearly remember things that the Lord spoke to me about my identity and about my calling on earth. So with this, came at a very good time because the Lord had to do surgery first. He's still doing a lot of surgery. And then the Lord came and said, but I need to remind you, you need to remind yourself of the things which I've prophesied over your life, words that I gave you through people, through the church, certain times. And I think as you sit here, all of us know, at some point someone spoke to you and said, I believe the Lord is saying this. I don't want to digress too much, but yesterday someone made a joke to say that, actually I remember who it was, I don't see her yet now, but anyway. She said that if someone tells her, the Lord is saying this, and she says, that's funny because he hasn't spoken to me about it yet. But it's more out of a point because if someone tells you, the Lord is saying this, you know, from a judgmental point of view, but obviously the Lord sometimes say, if someone says to you, I believe the Lord is saying this to you, I think all of us know that there were certain times, either we were in a quiet time, someone gave us a word, certain promises that the Lord gave us. So we're still doing it, okay, on a daily basis, seeing each other, listen, reminding myself of the promises that the Lord gave me. And that changed my life because it's not like every day there's things being added. But as I remind myself of those promises, it's as if something in my spirit is lighting a fire around those things, because the more I say it, the more I believe it, the more I realize that this is a big deal, because this is why I am here. The Lord is saying to me, Andrew, these are the things which you need to do, these are the things that I want you to accomplish, these are the things that are important for you specifically. And I'm so thankful because I've got a slight advantage because Ross is on my accountability group, so it's nice to to receive encouragement and things like that as well. But I just realized the importance of reminding ourselves of those promises. So I want to quickly just say to you and encourage you, if you haven't done that, I really want to encourage you, remind yourself of the promises which the Lord has given you. I think my laptop is going to distract me, so I'm going to close it and then just get a hand on my desk so that you can see my office of here. And then also one of the things we've done with the Compass series is to every single day, wherever you are, to be thankful, to thank the Lord for things like we've done now, also to say thank you Lord for the rain, but also to thank the Lord for things in our lives. Now one thing that I must tell you guys that I'm so, and it's something that I think you can say, and it's difficult to portray it because it's something that my spirit, it's almost like my spirit is crying out since that day that I walked out of the office and the Lord said to me, we're gonna fix your character, okay? I've become so conscious of the Lord's grace upon my life because I know that I'm a sinful human being and the Lord has got so much grace. So it's almost as if when I started a lifestyle of thanksgiving, praising, thanksgiving, really out of the deepest place within me to be thankful for little things and big things. My entire view of life almost changed. I'm naturally a positive person. The thing that stood out for me when I started doing thanks and giving thanks is when it's almost as if it's activating positive thinking in my head, but it also makes it easier for me to follow what the Lord is telling me to do. So in the past, even though I believe I heard the word from the Lord, I still had my mind coming in and saying, well, maybe this, or maybe, there's a risk, or whatever. But because I'm thankful and stirring up faith in my spirit, it's much easier for me to action when the Lord is speaking to me, giving me a word or telling me something to do. So those are two things. Obviously, we also share every single day. We've seen what we believe what the Lord is saying to us about our identity and our calling from a scripture. So I've enjoyed because I'm just using Ross now as an example because you all know him. So Ross is the last couple of months he's been reading a lot in Psalms. And I enjoy it because I can see what the Lord is speaking to him about. And we all can see what the Lord is speaking to each other about in the different scriptures we've been reading. And it's really building up, and it was building up my faith, but not only was it building up my faith, it pointed out very specifically, and it's amazing how you can see what, I can see what the Lord is speaking to Ross about, or to Johannes about, or to Hannes, or whichever one of my friends, or the guys in the group. But it's amazing how the Lord, even in their sharing of what the Lord is speaking to them, a lot of times the Lord is specifically pointing to something in my character which is linked to that, but it's a bit something a bit different. So it's as if I went, since we started with this, it's as if I went onto an operating table where my character has been, and still is, being slightly carved, cut, things being done on a daily basis. And I want to repeat that because it's happening on a daily basis. Okay, this is something that's happening on a daily basis. Then the Daniel fuss. Okay, actually, I can't describe this all. So the Daniel fuss is a Daniel fast, which is a very easy translation. So we went out the bike one morning. It was Yogi, myself, and Jakob Burger up Bloemendaal. And I'm sharing this because I think, anyway, there's a point. We got to the top, and as we stood on the top, the sun was just coming up. And it's what, once again, one of those things where I clearly remember it was I'll tell you now why I remember it clearly, okay, and why I knew it was the Lord that spoke clearly with me. I just felt in my spirit the Lord saying, 40-day Daniel fast, okay? I've never heard of a 40-day Daniel fast, and I don't know, I promise you, I like red meat and red wine, so I wouldn't have thought of a 40-day Daniel fast on my own, that I can guarantee you. So I said to them, right, we were right there on the top, I said, listen, I just believe the Lord saying to me I must do a Daniel fast. Are you guys in? And then Yaku said, no ways. In the week, he felt the Lord was speaking to him. Well, he didn't feel the same at that point. He just said he's in. So you need those friends to say, yes, I'm in. And so we did the Daniel fast. And after the Daniel fast, we had the Ross McCreet and a couple of friends over. With a little bit of red meat and things like that. So we had quite a feast after the 40 days, and then, everybody asked, maybe just go back. There were definitely a lot of things that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. So my wife and I and a couple of friends, we did the Daniel fast. And we were trusting and still trusting the Lord for specific things, okay? For us as a family, I was praying for specific things on those promises that the Lord has been giving me, and also, you know, for close friends and family of ours. So, and, you know, that night, I remember a couple of people still asking me, but, you know, how did you experience Daniel fast? And I think the best, easiest way to describe what I've experienced, because I've done fasting a lot in church before, and sometimes I'm a bit too honest, so this is one of those points where I'm probably not supposed to say this as an elder in church, but you know, I pray and I fast, and I really hope the 3 days go past very quickly. So that's how I do it. I've done it in the past. It's like we're fasting, we're drinking water, and we're just hoping that it's going to go away quickly. The problem with a 40-day fast is it's not going to go quickly. You know, you're in it, and you need to wait out the 40 days. And I think the first couple of days, I was sort of in the same mode, mindset. And then, once again, the Lord was very gracious. It's as if my flesh started dying, my spirit literally started waking up. It's as if when I was doing my daily devotions, and I was praying and I was listening, it's as if my spirit was standing up from a hibernation. I don't know how to explain it any differently than that. And the word, I'm not saying that you have to fast for the word to become alive, but that was my experience personally, what happened with the Daniel fast. Once again, this is linking to me, that day last year, February, when I walked out where the Lord said to me, Heinrich, we're going to start working on your character. And I believe that, I know that the Lord said to me, we're going to do a 40-day Daniel fast. And the Lord knew that I needed to learn, what is a fast actually about? Because I've fasted a lot in the past, but it's as if the penny dropped the first time in my life. You know, I needed to go through this for me to actually be in a place where I fully understand and experience what the Lord wanted to show me and deal with me through a fast. Okay, so it was an amazing experience. When I say experience, I don't mean that it was a feel-good or a holiday type of experience. I think you guys understand what I'm saying, because experiences, I'm saying it because of the lack of a better way. And then marriage enrichment, we very recently finished. This is part of the introduction. I'm going to quickly try and finish my point sometime with this, but it's important to, I brought the feel. It's a problem. The marriage enrichment, we've done marriage enrichment in the past. For those of you guys that are married and that haven't done the course that we recently did, it was, and I will quote this again, definitely the best 8-week investment that I've ever made in terms of time obviously it didn't cost anything, I don't think, I don't remember. It was the best investment that I've ever made in anything that I've ever done. It was, if it comes up again, I really want to, I can't probably not tell you, but I say you have to do it if you're married. So, why it's important? It's linking to my character, it's linking to my calling. Okay, marriage is the most important relationship apart from the relationship that I've got with the Lord. And what I've realized, you know, very suddenly, once again, the Lord being very gracious, I've realized that I cannot accomplish my calling. Heinrich's word from the Lord. We cannot accomplish that which the Lord wants me to accomplish if my marriage isn't rock solid and at a place where I can, with confidence, have an honest, pure relationship with my wife, okay? Now, what I can tell you, and this is how you're going to have to believe me, Melanie and I actually had a very good marriage. It depends probably on your definition of marriage. I really married an amazing wife, so that helps. She's very gracious. Just imagine. Little. But I think it equipped us. Even after the course we were driving, and we had a bit of a quibble over a big fuss and another girl. The sporting aspect, but I thought we're never going to fight again once we've done the course, which obviously is a joke because, you know, women are always going to. But I think that it equipped us so well to deal with conflict and to know, and this is the thing, but you have to go and do it. You cannot now say you know what they taught us. The most important thing that I taught is I know for the rest of my life that my wife wants to be with me. She wants the connection. Doesn't matter how angry I make her. It doesn't matter. So I wouldn't get as offended as quickly. I wouldn't. I'll still get upset. We're still going to fight. But there's something inside of me that knows that she's in it for always. Okay? And it sounds easy, but it's a bit more complicated than that. But anyway, don't want to go too much into that because we're not going through the course. I think it was a crucial part for me, that the Lord had to deal with for me to be able to accomplish my calling. This is what I believe the Lord told me. Okay, so then we had our 10-year wedding anniversary in the beginning of the year. So we went away, and it's also one of those things where it's amazing when you spend a lot of time with date nights, and but when you go away on your own for a weekend, or for in this case we went, because we were thinking Mary went away a bit longer, it's as if you get quiet enough and you've got quiet time, and then you can speak about things that is much deeper, okay? And then we started talking about calling, okay? So Melanie and I started talking about things that we believe was crucial for us when we grew up. What are the things that we want our children to experience when, you know, in our house we agreed on certain values? Now this seems like very simple things, but it's as if we never thought about doing things like this. Because we never really got quiet. We never really took out the time to sit down and make important decisions about our family. Even though we knew, you know, what to do, we knew what the right things were, we knew, you know, we need to grow, to teach our children in the ways of the Lord, but it took us to a point far away almost where we got quiet. And the Lord started speaking to our heart, and we needed to make decisions. And this links also to my calling. I'm talking about my calling, so, but you understand why I'm bringing it in the whole time. And then community and friendship, I'm going to share a bit about that as well. I think it's important. Melanie and I are extremely blessed with community. We live in friends. Our oldest son is adopted, as you might see if you. And You know, a lot of people ask us, but you know, things in our mind, our human mind say, but you know, how are we going to deal with this? And if the questions come, you know, how do you deal with this? Aren't you worried about certain things? And the short answer is, and this is, I'm not saying that, I'm not oblivious to the fact that, you know, we're going to have to give answers and we're going to have to deal with a couple of things. But the reality is, we are raising Jaden in a community where he's only one of a lot of other adopted children, okay? It is more normal for him to be adopted and going to be more normal for him to be adopted than what it is for a lot of other children to be whatever, you know, English, Afrikaans, or white, or whatever color, or black. And our community means a lot to us. And our friends mean a lot to us. The reason I value our community so much is, and I'm saying this not to impress anybody or to say that I'm just lip servicing, but I give you my word that our friends send us words, they encourage us, they pray for us, we do life together. Okay, yeah, I was not coming up with and I was doing like that at work. But the reality is we do life together, and I want to, you know, encourage all of us, you know, to be that community to someone, because I think a lot of times, you know, we at some point, you know, Melanie and I always felt, and you know, it feels like we investing a lot, but you know, it's not really and we just realized, you know, we had to die to a point of things like that. So, and I mean, that's, I'm talking about many years ago. But I want to encourage you, if you don't feel, I don't know what anybody's or what your situation is, but I want to encourage you, be community to someone. Don't feel that you're not part of a community, but you're not actually being a community to someone. Then invite someone 100 times, you know, try chicken or maak vetkoek of do whatever what their thing is that you do. But keep on doing it and pray for those people, because I think that's an integral part. You have to pray for people that the Lord also starts connecting you guys spiritually. So, as brothers and sisters. Okay, so all of this, I made all those points because it's important that I wanted to share. This is the highlights of what the Lord did, okay, in the last year and a half in my life. From that day when he started and said, Henry, was how we can look at after that. It wasn't a nice morning for me because I was very upset at that point. I walked out actually because I needed to blow off some steam actually. That's why I went up the stairs, went up. I don't think there's anybody that works with me that's here. It doesn't matter. And Yolanda, let's go on the phone and the gun. So then the Lord, through Bible school that I taught, through one or two other scriptures of the Lord laid on my heart, the Lord clearly came to show me that all these things is linking back to that day where he said there's a certain time, and this is, and I'll speak a little bit further, but I want you to think of whatever I'm going to say now in the following context. Each one of us, I don't care who you are here this morning, the Lord has got a specific calling for you, okay? The Lord has got a specific plan for each and every life on earth. And we only have a certain amount of time. And what I realized that the Lord was saying to me is, I need immorse the field of attack. You're wasting too much of your time, and you're not going to be able to do that which I called you to do, because I need you to focus. Okay, so I want to highlight a couple of things. So the first scripture is, you're my witnesses, says the Lord, en my servant. En wat hier vir my uitgestaan het is, baie duidelik, die Here sê in Jesaja, you are my witnesses, julle is my getuies, en julle is my diensknegte wat ek gekies het, ek het julle gekies. Die Here sê, ek het 'n plan vir hierdie aarde, ek het my seun gestuur en ek geweet julle as mense gaan nie kan doen nie, maar ek het vir julle gekies as mens, julle is my getuies, julle is my diensknegte. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed and there were no after me, and I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. Daaronder geskryf ook sommer hoe swaar dit kan wees om te sien. Dit sê God het besluit om ons as mens deel van sy plan te maak. As ons getuies is, en dit is net op my leierskap, en ons net verwys na leierskap, maar ons sien, I think a lot of times we don't see ourselves as leaders, because leaders are hoofseun, onhoofseun, eerste span, rugby kaptein, of cricket, of hockey, of tennis, of whatever. But that's just a leadership position. We're all leaders. This is what the scripture is saying to me, that the Lord has selected us as leaders on earth, okay? Spiritual leaders, to proclaim that which that is done. Okay, so, as we the volgende gedeelte gaan, he saw, say, Paulus, redeeming the time. I've already actually spoken about this, but redeeming the time is about making the most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Again, I saw a definition from time. Time has been defined as the stretch or duration in which things happen. The quality of our leadership or our life is actually revealed in what happens during that specific stretch of time. The character and careers of young people are determined. Now, here you can go to say, boss, he's ons karakter, ons lewens word baie keer vir ons uiteengesit. If you're 13 years old, you cannot say to your mother and your father how your day is going to look like, okay? Because you're going to wake up, you're going to eat your porridge, you're going to put on your school clothes, you're going to go to school, you're going to do sport afterwards, you're going to come home, do your homework, eat, bath, sleep, whatever your thing is, and then tomorrow you're going to do the same. And on Saturday, you're probably going to participate in sport or culture or whatever you're going to do. If you're homeschool, I'm not sure that looks correct, but I'm pretty sure it looks a lot the same. They cannot decide what they want to do, the teacher will tell them what they must do. So your time, there's a lot of time in our lives. If we work, we go to work. You cannot decide this morning you don't want to not go to work, unless you're one of those people that now only 6 days you've got. If you're that person, change your life, okay? You mustn't be like that. If you're sick, you can stay at home, but don't know how many 6 days you've got and then use all of them just for the sake of using them. Okay, sorry, there's no my employer kant in the right kom. Okay, the character, okay, God sê. Dan sê jy aan die ander kant, friends play a big role in whom we become. As ons gaan na die volgende slide kyk, the manner in which we employ our surplus hours, and this is what the Lord spoke to me about constantly for the last, since that day when we talked about the character building, our surplus hours. Now, I always thought I didn't have surplus hours. I'm too busy. Okay, ek is te besig. Kom braai by my. Ag, kom ons braai miskien oor 3 maande en 2 dae. Ek dink by donderdag aand ons nog hoop. Okay, so that's me. The manner in which we employ our surplus hours after work, eat, sleep, will determine if we're mediocre or someone to be reckoned with. Okay, this is just a quote that I read, but ek sal nooit vergeet nie. Michael John Deacon is one of the guys that was in a race with me in Stellenbosch. He's in Every Nation. And shortly after I recommitted my life to the Lord, spent a lot of time with him, we were praying, and I was invited to his 21st a year or two later. And then his dad said, from Waldo, he's passed away since. But he was referring to the most of our other friends, like Andy Sonneberg and Walter Spender and a lot of the other guys. He said to, in front of all of us, he said, show me your friends when you're young and I will tell you who you will become. Now this, we can argue a lot about it, we can say it's not theoretically right or theologically right, but there's a lot of truth in that. I was one of his friends, so I felt proud to be associated, even though I knew that actually he was referring to the other friends, but anyway, it felt good to be invited as a friend. Leisure hours present fantastic opportunity, or it can be a very subtle danger, okay? Every moment of the day is a gift of God and should be treated with care. Now, I know that I haven't always looked at time in that context, okay? It's almost as if I'll get to it a bit later, I'm running a bit ahead of myself, but it's almost as if doing nothing was something to look out for me. I was always looking out. It's almost like doing nothing is a reward, you know, resting the whole time or just doing nothing. But the Lord has speaking to me about it, saying, but listen, nothing is not going to get you to what I've called you to do. Doing nothing, you must rest, I agree. But doing nothing is not something that you really want to be constantly. Okay, our hours and days will keep on being used now, but they can only be used, but they can be used purposefully and productively. Then there's a guy, a philosopher, William James, said that the great use of one's life is to spend it for something that will outlast your life. For the value of life is computed not by its duration, but by its donation. Not how long we live, but how fully and how well we live. And this really struck me because it's almost like our Heinrich's human nature was constantly craving how well I live. Just like, oh man, just when you come and can't see how we talk about, I'm really tired, I just want to go hunt a bit with Hendrik. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you cannot constantly want to be Mauritius. Okay. Volgende, like, in spite of his preciousness and vast potential, okay, there's nothing which Heinrich used to squander so thoughtlessly as time. I mean, I just kept on realizing that my time is important, but I just kept on wasting time. Constantly wasting time. Okay, in Psalm 90, Moses is giving us such a good example. He's saying, so Lord, teach us to number our days, every single day, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. He considered time so valuable that he said, Lord, please teach me to number my days, every single day. I want to walk with measured tread, if I can put it that way. Okay, so, and then hierdie is nogals in my hart geslaan het ook is, something that hit me very hard, not a good translation, is, you never hear from a good leader will never say, oh man, I don't have time. You know, if someone comes to you and says, sorry man, I don't have time for you. They actually are much busier than most people, but they'll always make time for important things. Okay, we've been trusted with sufficient time to do the whole will of God and to fill out His perfect plan for our lives. This, I truly believe, that the Lord has given each and every one of us. I mean, if it's actually very easy, this is the way I figured out the way. The Lord has got a plan for me, okay? I've got a life. If God is God, which I believe He is, then there's enough time for me to do what I need to do on earth. Okay? That's if I live a purposeful life, if I don't waste my time, the time of my life. Okay, so I'm going to quickly start running through the last bit. Okay, when Paul urged the Ephesian church, okay, to redeem the time, he was indicating that in a sense, time becomes ours by purchase. Okay? There's a price to be paid for time. Now, this is not to bring condemnation or anything, but on earth we need to make an exchange for our time. Like if you work, at certain stages of your life, you've got a specific type of work. It takes time to do that work. If you're a corporate executive, okay, then you are going to spend a lot more time potentially at work than someone that has got to work where they can work 8 to 5 or 9 to 4 or whatever the work hours are. But I'm not saying the one is wrong and the one is right and the one is wrong, because it can be that the Lord has called you to do the corporate executive job where you can shine the light and tell people and show what the Lord is doing in your heart and, you know, to witness to those people, which no one else would have done. But the point I'm trying to make is time, there's an exchange for time. Time can be lost, and this is something that I was taught in Bible school that really stood out for me. It can be lost, but it can never be retrieved. Okay, every moment is precious. We cannot keep time. So if I don't We're spending time. Whether you want to spend your time or not is not an option. You are going to spend your time, okay? You cannot keep it and say, well, I'll spend my time tomorrow. You know, it's gone. It's, if you don't use it properly today and you do nothing, it's gone. You cannot hoard it. Okay, nor can it be postponed. Okay, if it is not properly used productively, it is irrevocably lost. Is that the first word? Is it actually? Is it? It's the old thing that I'm keen on. Okay, and then obviously, this is a voorbeeld. Ek wil vinnig deur dit gaan, want ek sê ek wil vinnig deur dit gaan. This really smack. It's like it's one of those moments where I had an aha moment. And the more I read through these notes and things, I just realized Jesus is the perfect example. Because he never rushed through life. If you think, you know, if you have to picture in your mind, how did Jesus walk on earth? I never think of him running or being late or, okay, you know, but yet he had time always for children, for the sick, for the lame, for whoever was in need. He had the perfect time. It's as if he knew exactly, not as if, he knew exactly what he needed to accomplish on earth. He came and he did it to the T. He even said, Lord, I've accomplished that which you've called me to do on earth. And this was like one of those aha moments where I realized Jesus showed us the perfect example of getting a calling, and he came and did exactly what he needed to do. He didn't waste time. He even at some point, we'll have a look at it now, he said to his mother, woman, don't distract me, I'm busy with the plan what the Lord has got for me. Okay. The secret of Jesus is that he never reacted, but always acted and worked according to his Father's plan for his life. You and me, ons het ook in 'n plan wat die Here vir ons lewe gesê. A plan that embraced every hour and made provision for every contingency. John 14:10. Do not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Okay, so if you want to find yourself in the book, then say, Jesus' calendar was fully arranged for us. Everything that he needed to do was pre-planned. He knew exactly every single day what he wanted to do and what he's going to accomplish. Okay. And through communion with his Father, he received each day both the words he was to say and the words he was to do. Christ's overriding concern was to fulfill the work committed to him within the allotted hours. So let's see my bosses. Jesus het geweet precies. Dis wat hy moet doen, dis hoe kom hy is. That's what he needed to accomplish. Okay, not even his loved mother, this is the part I was referring to, was allowed to interfere with his divinely planned timetable. And maybe I just read it now, but I want to say to you, and I was saying it a couple of times, there's a divinely planned timetable for each of our lives. And I don't get it right, but I believe and I'm trusting the Lord to show me how to get onto that plan for my life. Okay. Before we leave, okay, Dawson says, he says to his class, I finished the work which you have given me to do. He says, he found the 24 hours a day sufficient to complete the whole will of God. Okay, this is reflected in his corrected words to his disciples. Are there not 12 hours in a day? His question suggests that his settled confidence in his Father's plan and his assurance of the ability to finish the work which in the lot of time that was given to him, okay? And I said this on Ephesians 2:10, this all fits into Paul's affirmation that God has a plan for every single life. This is the whole point of your affirmation, that we each have been created unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. The Here het al voordat ons gebore was 'n plan vir ons gehad. Okay, dan die volgende een. Okay, hier is net om self te begin afsluit. Hierdie is vir my, en dit is nou eintlik aan julle hierdie, ek sê dit met julle, maar is, ek moet my elke dag herinner aan, dit is een van die goed wat ek herinner myself aan. Procrastination is probably, in my life, the biggest weapon that the devil is using to keep me from doing that which the Lord has called me to do on this earth, okay? Because for some reason, my default setting is I want to do nothing. So if I can do nothing, it's the happiest place that I can be is when I'm saying nothing. I'm just saying, you know, if I can do it tomorrow, then it's fine. In practice, the most effective people, if you think of people at your work, who are the people that's the most efficient, a lot of times successful people? It's people that operate by the let's do it now principle. Let's just do it. Let's do it and carry on. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Let's just do it. But for some reason, there's a built-in thing in a lot of people who say, the Portuguese say, calma, do it more. I'm stressed. The Africa is a bias, but I travel to Africa. I'm stressed, but do it tomorrow. The thief of time, procrastination, is one of the devil's most important weapons, as you said. And he saw this dilemma for Islam. Its subtlety and power lie in the fact that it corresponds so well with our natural inclination and our inner reluctance to make the important decisions. Dus alsof ons aversie het om belangrijke besluiten te maken of belangrijke dingen te doen. Dus alsof, ik zie niet altijd op je ogenblik belangrijke besluiten te maken. What I'm saying is, that was me. Sometimes you have to start doing something. You're not going to start doing something by saying I'm going to do it tomorrow. Okay, in our workplace, but also in our lives. So I want to encourage you because it's something that I struggled with tremendously. And this is where the Lord said, I need to intervene because if Andrea is going to keep on procrastinating, you know, he's going to get to whatever age and then we haven't even started with a quarter of what he needs to do. Okay, now, and the gesê van die do it now principle means about successfulness. And then this was such a beautiful story. A lifelong reader, you know, a guy that was already very busy. He had a lot of things to do, but he always read. His friends said to him, how on earth, you know, where do you get time? Where do you get time to read? And his answer was very simple. He said, I don't get time. I take it. We don't get time for a lot of things. But if something is important for us, we'll take time to do that which we believe is important. Okay. And then, I think the next one. Okay. It's very important to remember that all our most important time allocations have something in common. Okay, ek maak my opsie met dit. Die belangrikste goed in ons lewens, the most important things in our life, okay, and this is what the Lord also clearly reminded me, they've all got something in common. We don't realize immediately when we don't spend enough time. But actually, we've got a rude awakening when we don't spend time in the Word, when we don't spend time with our children, our wives, when we don't do the things that's really important. They don't spring out immediately. Your marriage is not immediately, your relationship with the Lord is not immediately, after a week even, we're going to say, okay, well, there's a problem here. But maybe 6 months later, maybe a year later, maybe a year and a half later, you're going to be at a point where you realize, this is something that was so important and I've neglected it. And this is now something that the Lord spoke to me clearly about. And I want to encourage you that family, rest, even something like rest. I mean, I was joking saying that I want to do nothing. Rest is important. It's important to go and revitalize your body and your mind and everything. But you cannot do so want it so much like I wanted it. Okay, spiritual disciplines. Okay. Ons kom eers te laat agter as die consequences alreeds severe is. So, dat ek net vier goed is, ek is al vanaf te praat, en dan is ek raar klaar. If we don't use our time, there's four things that's going to happen. This is Bible school notes, so I stole this from Bible school notes. Maar dit is nogals belangrijk, want ek kan clearly see some of it in my own life. There's four things that Ronald McDonald said, no, I don't know who McDonald was, anyway, that's going to happen, okay? It's going to go to our weaknesses. We're going to spend endless hours focusing on our weaknesses, okay? If we don't take control of our time, if we don't tell our time and our surplus time what we're going to be doing, it's going to flow into our weaknesses. It's going to be eaten up by something that's not really going to change. Am I saying that you mustn't work on your weaknesses? That's not what I'm saying. I think you're getting the point. that's going to be wasted into things that's not going to be effective. The second thing that McDonald's is saying is, unseized time comes under the influence of dominant people in my world. What have we been saying? I can't remember what I said. Anyway, one of the famous spiritual laws states, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Ek wil nou grapje gemaakt het en ek gaan opsteeds, ek gaan op uitkom. God loves you, you've got a plan for your life, but so does dominant people, okay? Ek en Melanie, toen ons pas getrouwd is, toen ons by iemand ons genader, het ons gesê, I did it Amway, en het ons gesê, ons gaan passieve geld verdien vir die rest van ons levens, en as jy in Amway is, vergeef my, ek gaan het sê, ek weet, dis wat jy dat ek gesê, ek iemand sê nie, of as ander goeders ook, dis ons ervaring gewees. Ek sê, ek was dit, my nooit gaan ons. Wat ek vir myself my story af, wat ek wil sê is, as jy nie jou tyd gaan gebruik om iets te doen nie, gaan daar dominante mense in jou wel inkom, en ek beloof jou, hulle gaan jou tyd vat, want hulle gaan jou tyd nie gebruik vir hulle eie gewin. So I'm saying, red flag, you know, be careful, ek het in my strik geval, ek het in my vrou strik geval, be careful. Dominant people will come into your life, and they will take your time, because they love you, and they've got a plan for your life. Okay, so that's what I want to say. Is that an unseized time surrenders to all demands of all emergencies. We always joke, we've got one of our senior guys in the company, and when he phones me, he will always say, I urgently, but it's always three times. I urgently need the following, or, you know, whatever the case is. And I realize that we must be able to distinguish between important things and urgent things, because urgent things aren't always important. You know, because someone can think it's urgent, but it's not actually something that's important. So this is just for yourself to say, distinguish between something that's urgent and something that's important. Okay, then the fourth thing. Unseized time gets invested in things that gain public acclamation. This is probably a bit of a deeper one, but I definitely saw something of this in my own life as well. If it's almost like a default button, if we don't know what to do, then the chances are very good that you're going to do something that people think you're a good person. Maybe it's a good person. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is all of it what you do wrong? I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is be careful, because it is a natural inclination to try and go and do something which you're going to get affirmation for. I'm not saying you do good things. What I'm saying is that which you're going to do because of this law, okay, this law, it's a natural inclination, might actually not be that part of the Lord's plan for your life. Maybe you should actually be doing something else. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so you know, there's the Afan, where this Jaden, to a big deal with later on, so I'm like a hard trip. I'm going to close off by saying that I want to encourage you this morning to say that the Lord has got a plan for your life, okay, and for my life. I want to encourage you to remind yourself of the words that the Lord has given you, okay? Get an accountability partner, get someone that you can speak to that can pray with you. And then also be accountable for the time of your life, okay? We all have a certain amount of time. If you speak to any older person, okay, you can ask, you can speak to me as well. Our life goes past very quickly. They will tell you that life is run like this. The other day, I mean, if you got parents, they'll say, ever so like you don't know nothing, you don't think of it at all, your mother will tell you, or your father. And that's the reality, is our life goes past like this. And I want you to go pray and ask the Lord to help you to walk into accountability, but to make sure that our time on earth counts, and to remind yourself of that which the Lord has called you to do. Okay, so that's a bit of my story that I wanted to share. I'm going to pray for us, and then if there's anybody that wants prayer on anything like this, if you know, I will trust with you. If you want the Lord to give you a word or something, then come forward and we'll pray. So let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can be in your house, Lord, and thank you that I can share, Lord, even though, Lord, I mean, Father, you know exactly where I am, and you know all my weaknesses, and you know I'm still lying with my character on the operating table, but thank you that I can share, Lord, just on the start of the process that which you've initiated in my life, Lord. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. Thank you for your grace upon our lives, and thank you, Lord, I want to now come, Lord, and every assignment of the devil, I just feel it in my spirit now, that the devil's got to keep people that can hear me now from accomplishing that which the Lord has called them to do. Lord, I want to come and break that assignment now in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that they will take ownership this morning and put up their hand and say, Lord, let's start with the process. Lord, help me to start with the process to accomplish that which you've called me to do on this earth. I pray your blessing over every person. Yeah, thank you. We can all have a nice week ahead of us. And thank you once again for the rain. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a good afternoon, guys. And please join us for some coffee. Anybody with prayer?